Next week, we are starting a new sermon series here at church. It is called Features of Discipleship, and Pastor Paige will be starting this next week, and there are booklets for this sermon series that are out in the foyer out there, and we invite you to grab one of those and study it along with us as we work through this series throughout the rest of the spring and the summer. Also, we want to make you aware this morning that Melissa Wilkins' father, Woody Sowers, passed away on Thursday. We know that he did not attend here, but he was well connected here. And so if you see Melissa and Buddy, please pass along your condolences to them. There will be a funeral service happening this Friday at 2 p.m. at Memorial Baptist in Stanton, and all are welcome and invited to attend that this Friday. This time I'll pray for our kids. I know they already headed out, but we'll still pray for them anyways. Heavenly Father, we lift up our kids to you this morning. Lord, we pray that as they head off to Kids in Praise, that you would be with them, that you would open up their hearts and minds, Lord, so that they would hear your word. I pray for our teachers, that you would give them wisdom and guidance, patience as they work with our kids this morning. And I pray, Lord, that just your blessing upon them, that they would learn and grow in knowledge and in truth. We lift up our time in the Word this morning, Lord. We pray that you would meet us as we study the Scripture together. Your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. If you haven't already, you would turn to Psalm 23. This is our Scripture for this morning. Today we're going to look and think about how the Lord is our shepherd. Now, I don't have much experience herding sheep. Maybe you do. But I do have a toddler at home who just started walking several months ago, and it's basically the same thing, right? One thing about having a wandering toddler is she wanders, right? Always walks around to places that I don't really know where she is. One minute I could be looking at her playing with her toys in the living room, take my eye off her for 1 second, and she's in the bathroom unwinding the roll of toilet paper throughout the whole house. She does that all the time. I don't know why. Just a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks after she started walking, we were here at the church and downstairs in the little cafe area for our small group gathering, and Janae and I were there together, and Janae told me, "I've got to go to the bathroom. Would you keep an eye on Joanna for me?" So I said, "Sure, I got this, no problem." And I was looking at her. I swear I saw her right there on the ground. I took my eye off her for 1 second to talk to somebody, and I turn around, she's not there. Nowhere to be found. I looked through all the meeting rooms down there, and she was not there, not with anybody down there. I was starting to freak out a little bit. I didn't tell Janae yet, but I'm starting to freak out a little bit. And then I walked down the hallway and saw the door to the nursery was open. It was dark in there. All the rooms were dark, but the door was open, and I walked in there, and she was in the toddler nursery going up and down the slide in the nursery in the dark doing that. If you know Joanna, you know she loves the slide in there for some reason. But she just wanders all the time, right? Being the parent of a toddler, I've learned that I always have to keep guard on her at all times, because in the blink of an eye, she could be gone. Now, I know most of us in here are not toddlers, but we are all prone to wander. We are all prone to stray. Not physically, although some of you in here might wander away from your spouse when they're talking to you, but spiritually, right? Isaiah says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to each to his own way. Though many of us in here might have been saved, we might have experienced the grace and mercy of Jesus, we're in the kingdom, we still wander. We still don't do what is right. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the desire of the Spirit, to keep you from doing what you know you must do. We far too often wander from what we know is right. When sin is crouching at your door, are you not tempted to give in? When the worries of the world start to cause you to be anxious, Do you not allow them to consume your mind, consume your every part of your being? When trials come, do you struggle to believe and trust in God? When doubt comes, do you allow questions to arise and stir up in your mind? When you are lacking provision, do you struggle to believe that the Lord will provide for you? If you are honest with yourself, we can all probably answer yes to all these questions, because we, like sheep, have gone astray and we struggle to trust. And this is why we need a shepherd. God has called us to be holy, to live holy lives, to live up to his perfect standard, but we cannot do this in our own strength. We need a shepherd who can lead us, a shepherd who can help us to be able to have faith and to walk according to the Spirit. God has called us to not worry, to trust, to not doubt but believe, to not give in but to stand strong, and the shepherd is the only one who can give us the ability and power to do this. And so my main point this morning is this: as we look at Psalm 23, Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for you. He is the good shepherd who cares for you. Now, I know this might be a familiar passage for us this morning. Many of you probably have memorized this. You know the words. You're used to it. Maybe this psalm has been a psalm that's been an encouraging one to you in dark moments of your life. And that is a big blessing. I want to challenge us this morning to think about this psalm, though, because many of us might know the words, but we might not know the deeper theological truths behind each verse and behind each words. Often with scriptures like this, we can say, oh, I got this, I know that, and kind of tune out a little bit and not really take time to understand how God is really speaking to us through this passage. One thing that I was looking at as I was studying this week was just the importance of this psalm in context of its surrounding psalms. If you look at in your Bible, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Psalm 22 is often known as the Psalm of the Cross, sort of a foreshadowing of Jesus' crucifixion. Psalm 23, right, is the Psalm of the Shepherd. And then Psalm 24 is the Psalm of Glory, or Psalm of the Crown. And so we have the crucifixion, the shepherding, and the Psalm of the Crown. And here we kind of have what some commentators have called the Messianic Trilogy. And it's this idea that Jesus has dealt with our past in Psalm 22, takes care of our past. Psalm 24, he takes care of our future. And then here in Psalm 23, we see him taking care of our present, dealing with us now, leading us and guiding us in this life. Psalm 23 is like drinking a cool glass of water on a hot, blistering day. It is one that refreshes and encourages our souls. And so as we look through this psalm, I'm going to break it down in two ways. First, we will look at this first verse, David's personal declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then secondly, we will look at how Jesus, as the good shepherd, cares for you. And so first, "The Lord is my shepherd." As I was reading, studying this week, I've stuck on this first verse for a long time, because it's kind of the foundational point for the whole entire psalm. The Lord must be your shepherd in order for everything else in this psalm to apply to your life. And so David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Why did David say that? Why did David say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? How does the shepherd metaphor relate to the Lord? To understand this, we need to first look at two passages of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 34 and John chapter 10. First, in Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel had been prophesying and speaking to the leaders of Israel and speaking about how they had failed, how they had not shepherded their people well, how they had led their people into the worship of idolatry, how they had not cared for their people, how they had led them astray when they were supposed to be leading them closer to God. And then Ezekiel then prophesies here in Ezekiel 34 about the Messiah, the true shepherd who was to come. He says in verses 15 and 16, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And so here we have Ezekiel prophesying about the Messiah. Jesus would be the good shepherd who would truly shepherd his people well. Jesus is going to be the one who would bring hope and healing to a hurting nation. Jesus is the one who would truly reconcile his people back to God, as no other human shepherd could do. And then in the New Testament, John chapter 10, we see Jesus proclaiming that he is the good shepherd, teaching that he is this one that was prophesied about. He is the good shepherd. John 10, 11 through 15 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The hired hand is somebody who doesn't really care a whole lot for the sheep. The hired hand is somebody who's there just to work a shift, to punch the time clock, to just do their job. Doesn't have any personal investment for the sheep because he doesn't own them. It's just there to work. It doesn't matter to him if the sheep live or die because he has no sense of personal responsibility there. But the good shepherd is the one who cares deeply about his sheep. The good shepherd cares deeply, and he would do anything for his sheep because he has made an investment. He owns them. Sheep are not very smart animals, and they are dependent on shepherds to care for them. They don't have good eyesight or good hearing. They don't make noises when they're being attacked by prey. They're silent. And all of these factors make them very easy to prey to lions, to bears, to wolves, to other wild animals. And so the shepherd would literally put his life in danger to protect his sheep. He would put his life on the line each and every day to protect his sheep from wild animals and prey. And so Jesus, as our good shepherd, lays down his life for us. He laid down his life to save us for all eternity so that we can have new life, be forgiven and reconciled to God. He is our good shepherd. Now, I mentioned that David opens up this psalm here by saying this, the Lord is my shepherd. And this is foundational to being able to understand the rest of this psalm. Because David says, the Lord is my shepherd, then he can say, I shall not want. Because David says, the Lord is my shepherd, then he can say, he restores my soul. He leads me to still waters. He prepares a table for me. All of these things are true because David has that relationship with the Lord. So, and David, we know that he was a king, and we know that he had a lot of trials and difficulties as a king. We know that a lot of things did not go as planned for David in his kingship. You know all the stories that he, you know, his own son chased after him, threatened to overthrow his reign as king. We know that Saul chased after him. We know that David experienced the failure of his sin with Bathsheba. All these different things happened to David. But yet here he is saying, remembering his days as a shepherd, remembering how as he was a shepherd, he would care and nurture for the flock of sheep. And he says, the Lord does this for me. Just as I used to do with the sheep, the Lord does this for me. I know what the Lord is doing for me because I have experienced doing this for my sheep myself. And now I see the Lord caring for me, leading me, guiding me. And so now let's look at the rest of Psalm 23 here. How does Jesus, as our good shepherd, care for us? He meets our needs. He meets our needs. We see this in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. We live in a very materialistic society where we always think we need more than we actually do. Can you relate to that? We always think that we can't be satisfied because we don't have this or we don't have that. We think if I only get the next new thing, then I'll be happy. If only I get more space in my house or a nicer backyard or this or that, then I'll be happy. If only I had what the Joneses down the street had, then I'd be happy, right? But chasing after these things always leaves us feeling not satisfied. The things that we think we need end up causing us to need more in reality. Thomas Kempis once said, "You cannot find complete satisfaction in any temporal gift because you were not created to find your delight in them." Even if you possessed all of the good things that God has created, even if you possessed everything in the world, you could not be happy because all your gladness and happiness rest in the God who created those things. Have you ever had the experience of not having something that you so desperately wanted or thought that you needed? We can all probably look to a time in our lives where we really wanted something or really thought that we needed something. And what happens when we don't have that thing? What happens? We get anxious. We get worried. We get stressed. We fret if we don't have what we think we really need. But Jesus, as our good shepherd, knows exactly what it is that we need. He knows exactly what it is that we need, and he gives it to us. He doesn't always give us what we want, but what he knows that we need, because he cares deeply for us, and he knows what we need that will truly make us stronger in our faith and grow us closer to him. Sheep never have to worry about where to find food or where to find shelter, at least if they have a good shepherd. Some sheep are neglected by their shepherd, and they might lack some of the essential things. But if the sheep have a good shepherd, they will never lack. They will always be taken care of, always be provided for. Jesus always meets our needs. I read recently the story of a man named George Mueller, who was a missionary in the 1800s, and he cared for orphans in an orphanage in England. One morning at the orphanage, all the plates and cups and everything in the orphanage were empty, and they had no food, and they had no money. And the kids and the people were starting to stress about what to eat. And George, our missionary, gathered people around, and he said, "I know it's time to leave soon, but first, let us pray. And let's pray and thank God, because he's going to provide for us. Let's thank God for what we know we're going to eat this morning." And so he prayed, and he said, "God, thank you for what you have given us to eat," even though he didn't have anything. As soon as he finished praying, there was a knock at the door, and it was a baker down the street who said, "I've been up all night thinking about you and the kids, and I got up at 2 a.m. and just baked a whole batch of bread for you so that you can be fed this morning." Isn't that incredible? Mr. Mueller thanked him, and the second that the baker walked out of the door, there was another knock at the door, and it was the milkman. And he said, "My milk truck just broke down outside of your house here. Can I give you all the milk in here so it doesn't go warm while I work on repairing it out here?" The Lord provided for him when all else seemed like it wasn't going to work. Jesus knows exactly what it is that we need, and he will provide, not what we want always, but what he knows that we need. Paul said it this way, Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He said it also in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things?" If God went to the greatest length to give up his one and only son for you, how much more will he take care of you? If God gave his begotten, cherished son for you, how much more will he give you exactly what it is that you need in this life? The word "want" here in Psalm 23, verse 1, essentially means to have no lack, to not be lacking anything. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. David said this elsewhere in Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Even if you don't have the next new thing, even if you don't have the nicest toys, even if you don't have what the Joneses down the street have, even if you don't have what the world says you need in order to be happy, if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. If you have Jesus, all your needs are supplied. God has provided us for us by giving us his Son on the cross. And in Jesus, he supplies everything we need. If the Lord is your shepherd, you can confidently say, like David, I shall not want. I have everything I need. And if you look at Psalm 23, you'll notice the rest of these things that David mentions here are things that we often think and know that we need. We need to rest. We need to be still. We need to be restored and renewed. We need food and nourishment. We need safety and direction. We need protection. And so all these basic needs that we have as humans, David says in Psalm 23, the Lord met that. The Lord provided that for me. The Lord met my needs. And so the rest of Psalm 23 kind of flows from this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because here we see how David did not want anything because the Lord provided that for him. And so how does Jesus provide and meet our needs? First, he gives you rest. He gives you rest. Do you ever struggle to be at rest? Can anybody say that they are completely at rest in their life right now? We always struggle to be at rest, to be content, to find peace. As a society right now, we are so stressed out. We are worn out. We are burnt out, if we're honest with ourselves. We are living in a day and age where the current state of our world says that we need to be anxious and worried about so many things. You might be here this morning feeling overwhelmed, burdened by the anxieties of life, by the stresses of life, by the uncertainties of life. Uncertainty is one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses to throw us into chaos and distract us from our worship, distract us from our peace that God gives us. If we are uncertain about things, it can cause us to doubt and to fear. Another source of our unrest is simple busyness. We all have busy schedules, right? Can we all say that? We all have busy schedules. None of us in here could probably say that I'm not busy right now. We all have things going on that stress us out. Myself included, right? We all, myself included, have a tendency to be go, go, go people, right? To never set time aside to rest as we should. Life is busy. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's not really a time when it's not busy. The daily grind of life is taxing. And it seems like we all know that we need to rest, but rest is elusive because it can be so hard to accomplish and achieve. Rest seems like a dream or, you know, something that other people can do, but I can't do because my life is just too busy. You ever thought like that before? It seems like there's always another commitment, always another project, always another soccer practice or thing going on in your life that you need to be at. Always something else, always something going on. This endless cycle of just chaos and things that we constantly need our attention. And if we overextend ourselves and push and push and push, eventually we're going to be mentally and physically exhausted. And we'll start to lose our joy. And that's not what God has in store for us, how he created us to live. But David says here, right, that the Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Green pastures, still waters, places of soul renewal, places of rest and stillness that only the Lord can lead us to, that only the Lord can give to us. Too often we try to find rest in other ways. We spend our days off maybe watching TV or just relaxing or even keep it up on emails or trying to do work while we're actually not working. And when we do that, we always even end up more tired than we were in the first place because we're not actually resting well. But the Lord, if we look to the Lord, he leads us to places of real soul renewal, to places where we can truly experience his presence and his rest. Have you ever tried to make a sheep lie down? Maybe some of you have, I'm not sure. But apparently it's not easy from what I've been learning about recently. Philip Keller, who wrote the book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, maybe you're familiar with that book. I've been reading it a little bit this week. And he wrote that in order for a sheep to lie down, four things need to happen. First, the sheep needs to be free of fear. Secondly, it needs to be free of tension or drama with other rival sheeps. Third, it needs to be free of pests or bugs or aggravation. And fourth, it needs to be free of hunger. Once all of these needs are met, then the sheep can lay down. But notice in all of these things, right, the shepherd is the only one who can truly relieve the sheep of these things. The shepherd is the only one who can truly meet all of these needs for the sheep so that they can lay down. The shepherd is the only one who can relieve the sheep's fear by protecting them from wild predators. The shepherd is the only one who can relieve his fear by assuring them with his presence because they know the shepherd. The shepherd is the only one who can relieve sheep tension or sheep rivalry or sheep drama or sheep fights, right? As a kid, you always stop fighting with your siblings when your mom walks in the room, don't you? The shepherd's presence relieves tension and fights between the sheep. When the sheep have pests and ants in their pants and bugs bothering them and all over them, the shepherd is the only one who can clear their fleeces, clear their wool, take the bugs off of them, apply a special insect repellent to them to keep them free of bugs. And the shepherd is the only one who can provide them with the right food, lead them to the green pastures, lead them to the right places to eat. Sheep might be eating in other places, but they're still going to be hungry if they're not eating the right food. The shepherd leads them to green pastures. And so Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for us by meeting all these needs so that we can lie down, so that we can have rest. If you are worn out by life, if you are stressed by the busyness and chaos of unrest in your mind or of unrest of your life, look to Jesus, the shepherd of your soul. He promises to give you true rest, to lead you to places of soul renewal, green pastures, still waters. He can give you the peace that only comes from being in his rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Secondly, David says, he restores your soul. Now, there's so much here in Psalm 23. It would take weeks to get through every single verse. I'm kind of just highlighting what really stuck out to me as I was studying here this week. He restores your soul. Have you ever felt simply defeated by life? Have you ever felt hopeless, like nothing else is working out in your favor? Like nothing just seems to going right? Like no matter how hard you try, you keep getting knocked down over and over again? David surely felt like this. He said in Psalm 42:11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" In Psalm 6:3, he said, "My soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long?" We know that David poured out his emotions in the Psalms about how his soul was troubled. He was downcast. He experienced this feeling of hopelessness. But yet here in Psalm 23, verse 3, he says, the Lord restores my soul. Philip Keller, again, in the Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23, noted that a sheep that was cast was a sheep that was on its back and could not get back up. A sheep would fall on its back, and it could not get back on its legs, and therefore it felt like it was hopeless. It was cast. It would lie on its back, trying to frantically get back onto its feet, but could not get turned over on its own. And if the shepherd would not find the sheep soon, then the sheep that was cast would die, because either the circulation in its legs would go out, or it would be eaten by predators because it was easy prey if it could not move. But when the shepherd would find his cast sheep, when the shepherd would find his sheep that was on its back and was cast, he would pick up the sheep, he would rub its legs and restore the circulation, restore the blood flow, massage his legs to get the blood flowing back in its legs. Then he would pick that sheep up, he would put it back on its feet, he would speak softly and gently to it, and he would say, and he would lift it up and restore it back so that it could be back on its feet. What a beautiful picture of how the Lord restores us. The Lord lifts us back up when we are feeling downcast. The Lord raises us up when we feel hopeless. If you are here today and you are feeling downcast, if you are feeling like there is just no hope for you, look to the Lord. Look to Him. Open up your arms to Him, put your trust in Him, and allow Him to restore you, because He can. He will transform your hopelessness into hope. If you get knocked down, He will bring you back up again. If you are sick and wounded, He will heal you and mend you. If you are feeling empty, He will fill you with His Spirit so that your cup overflows. If you are broken, He renews you. If you fall, He will raise you up. Jesus is the one who restores your soul, who leads you back, who guides you back into His safe arms when you are feeling downcast and hopeless. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Peter said also, 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. As one song I heard recently said, that He takes brokenness aside and makes it beautiful. The Lord is your ultimate restorer, your great restorer. He makes all things new. Do you believe that? Is that true in your life? The Lord takes your brokenness and makes it whole again. The Lord mends and heals you. Would you look to Him and ask Him to restore you this morning? And third, He walks with you. He is with you in the valley. It says here in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. A few months ago, Janae and I got a new puppy at home, which adds to the craziness of our life at home, right? A puppy and a toddler. You should just come over and see it sometime. It's a lot of fun. But we have this puppy, and the first thing that we noticed about her is that she had extreme separation anxiety. She did not like to be alone. We tried to get her to sleep in her crate the first night that we had her, and she whined and yelped and barked all night long, literally all night long. And this went on for several days, weeks even, of just her whining in the crate. And we tried to just ignore it, tune her out, you know, let her tough it out, but nothing worked. She just kept on whining and whining and whining. So I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, training videos on crate training, tried to figure it out for myself, tried to read books and articles, tried to fill her crate with treats and make it look like Disneyland and look like a lot of fun for a dog and try to make it look fun. But nothing that she would do would stop her whining. She kept crying all night long. And we were not getting any sleep. Honestly, it was worse than the first couple of weeks with a baby. At least I felt like that. I don't know about Janae. But after a while, I realized that her separation anxiety, she was anxious because she did not know that we were there. She could not see us. Our bed was higher, and she could not see where we were. So finally, one night, after being tired of just not getting any sleep, I got down on the floor, and I laid next to her crate in her kennel, and immediately she went down and went right to sleep. Her situation did not change. She was still in the crate, but yet simply my presence being next to her assured her that I was there, that I did not abandon her, that I was still with her, that I was not going away, that I cared about her. I did that for a couple of nights until she got used to it, but it was simply her knowing that I was with her that reassured her and helped her to know that it's okay, I can sleep now, I can trust. In the same way, I think a lot of us have a difficult time believing that Jesus is with us through the hardships of life. A lot of times we think that if I'm going through a hard time, it must mean that Jesus has abandoned me. It must mean that Jesus doesn't care about me, that he is not with me, that he doesn't see what I'm going, he doesn't understand this, he doesn't know. But this is the farthest from the truth. Even in the shadowy places, even though you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you can rest, assuring and know that Jesus is with you. He doesn't allow you to go into the valley and then leave you alone in there to deal with it yourself. He is with you, walking through you in the valley, assuring you that his presence is there. He's leading you and guiding you. Isaiah said this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you, because I, the Lord your God, am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death, showing you that he is here, showing you that he is working, showing you that he is protecting you with his rod and his staff. Why does David say this here, that you comfort me with your rod and your staff? What does that mean? Well, the rod was a wooden stick that was used by shepherds to fend off predators. The rod was also used by shepherds to count their sheep, to count how many they had so they knew who all was in their flock. The staff was used to direct the sheep, to poke and to prod them and to keep them back in line. The staff had a long stick that had a curved end on it, and when a sheep would start to wander off, the shepherd would get the staff and reel its neck back in, would pull the sheep back in so that it would not wander astray and get itself into danger. With his rod and the staff, the Lord leads us. He protects us from evil, protects us from hardship. Not protects us from hardship. He leads us into hardship and protects us even though we might go through hardship. He protects us by securing us safely in his arms. And with his staff, the Lord leads us along paths of righteousness. He guides us and directs us. When it seems like we are going off the wrong path, he brings us back. He pursues us and directs our paths. Though you might face trouble and hardship in this world, if you are in Christ, you are safe and secure because with his rod and his staff, he is comforting you. And last, we see here that he pursues you. He pursues you. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just as I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Jesus is your relentless pursuer. He never stops pursuing you, never stops chasing after you, never stops searching for and seeking the lost. His greatest desire is for those who are lost to come to know him, to see him, to call upon his name, and he will always pursue those who he has called upon. Even for those of us still already in the family of God, he is still pursuing you. He is still chasing after you. leading you into deeper fellowship, deeper communion with him, pursuing your heart so that you would trust him, so that you would know that he is with you. David says here, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word follow here in this verse 6 means to pursue with an intent to catch, to be followed. And David knew what it was like to be pursued. He knew what it was like to be pursued by his enemies, right? We talked earlier about Saul and Absalom pursuing after David. But here we see a different kind of pursuit. David says, the Lord is pursuing me, chasing after me, leading me along paths of righteousness, pursuing my heart, leading me to growth, leading me to a deeper fellowship and communion with him. And as your shepherd, Jesus is ever pursuing you, ever saying, look, come and see what I have in store for you. Come and watch how I will make you more holy, more like me, leading you in a deeper and deeper relationship and intimacy with him. And the benefits of being under the shepherd's care will lead you throughout all of eternity. And so as I close, I want to consider this question this morning. Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Is Jesus truly your shepherd? Or are you trusting in the hired hands to guide you? Is Jesus truly your shepherd? Or are you being discipled by culture? Are you being discipled by the world? Are you being discipled by what other people say or think that you should do with your life? Who really owns your life? Is it Jesus? Again, to quote Philip Keller from A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, he wrote about how when he bought his first 30 sheep, a neighbor of his told him that it was time for him now to make his mark on the sheep. And what he meant was that as the shepherd, he needed to put his own distinctive earmark on each sheep. He needed to take that sheep and put it on a table and cut through its ear with a razor-sharp knife and ingrain in that sheep his mark so that he would know when they're out in the fields which sheep belong to him. And this was a painful process, both for the sheep and the shepherd. For the sheep itself to get that painful ear and for the shepherd to see his sheep go through that. But when they did that, the shepherd knew that that was my sheep. From a long distance away, he could see that sheep belongs to me. In the same way, when you put yourself under the control of Christ, when you put yourself under the ownership of Christ, you bear the mark of the cross because now you belong to him. You are his. You belong to him. And how does he own you? How does our shepherd own us? Because he bought us with a price. Because he bought us with a price. With his blood shed on the cross, he owns us. If you trust in him, you are his. You belong to him and to his family. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Maybe you are here this morning and you've never put yourself under the ownership of Christ as your shepherd. Maybe you are here this morning and you go to church, consider yourself to be a Christian, but Jesus really isn't Lord of your life. I encourage you this morning to submit yourself fully to him, to yield yourself to him, to call upon his name as shepherd and say, you are my shepherd. I don't want to chase after the other shepherds. I want to chase after you because you will lead me and you will guide me in the right way. If you give your life to Jesus, it will be the greatest decision that you ever make in your life. It'll be the most important thing you ever do in your life. It'll change your life and transform your life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill and destroy, but I have come so they may have life and have it to the full. Only when you belong to Jesus and bear the mark of the cross will you experience true satisfaction, true abundance in life, true joy, true meaning and purpose in life only comes from knowing and belonging to the shepherd. And even if you are here and you've already done this, do you trust and know that the shepherd will truly take care of you? Do you trust that he truly will meet your needs? Do you trust that truly he will provide for you and take care of you? That he will give you rest and restore your soul? I encourage you to put away all doubt and all fear and look to Jesus as the good shepherd and say, He is my shepherd. In Him I shall not want. In Him I have everything I need. He will lead me. He will restore my soul. He will give me rest. Allow Him to truly be the Lord of your life this morning and watch and see how He will lead you, how He will guide you, where He will take you, because He is in control and He loves you and knows you as His sheep. Would you pray with me as I close? Heavenly Father, thank You for this word. Thank You, Lord, for this psalm, how it instructs us, how it encourages us. Lord, we know that this might be a familiar psalm, Lord, but I pray that it has spoken to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would all know that You are our shepherd. I pray that if anybody in here has not put themselves under Your care, that You would lead them to do that, Lord. That You would draw them close to You. I pray, Lord, this morning that You would add to Your flock, that people here would call upon You as Your shepherd, Lord, as their shepherd. I pray, Lord, that any of us in here are struggling to doubt, struggling to believe, struggling to know that You truly care for us. I pray that You would reassure us with Your presence so that we may know, Lord, that You are with us, that You are in control. Pray this in Your name, Lord. Amen.